for the past several weeks, I've been talking about remembering the whole of the pit. And we've looked at several reasons why we are to remember the whole of the pit. First of all, it was to honor God's mercy.
Yes, sir.
Basically, we ought to always be giving diligence to remember what God Almighty has done for us in saving us. Where we were and where He's brought us to. Yes. Secondly, we are to remember the whole of the pit as an example to others, as a positive example to others. And I don't, when I say that, now I don't mean that in some kind of soul-winning way even. I'm talking about saying, here's the truth. Here's what happened to me, Mason. This is the experience I went through. This is who I used to be, and here is where God has brought me to now.
Yes.
Thirdly, it is to encourage us. To encourage us to continue serving and waiting. And this is something you can't, I mean, I can say it, I say it over and over again, but it's not something that you can call someone else to be able to relate to. But those who truly believe on Christ are waiting for Him to come.
Yes, sir.
We are looking for Him to come. As a matter of fact, it says looking and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord. And so it's to encourage us to continue serving and waiting. It is to give us assurance. We've looked at that. Another reason we are to remember the hole of the pit from which we were digged is because of our propensity to return to the hole of the pit. But now the fifth one. As we said, it is to be a testimony to some people, a positive testimony to some people. But we're also to remember the hole of the pit from whence we were digged to be a testimony against some people. Now, even Isaiah himself, and he's the one that God moved to say to us, look to the hole of the pit from whence you were digged. But let's look at an experience that Isaiah had, and it's recorded in Isaiah chapter 6. Now, Isaiah has just been given this divine revelation of God. I didn't say a divine revelation from God. He's been given a divine revelation of God. He sees God high and lifted up, right? In the year of the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I'm not going to get into that, but he saw also the Lord. He was looking at something else. And God was pleased to have mercy and grace show him what was really important.
Sorry.
To see God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly.
Yes.
And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. This was not a dream. This is actually Isaiah seeing also the Lord. Then said I, this is what everyone who sees God in this light. We may not physically see what Isaiah saw, but we see this J inwardly.
Yeah.
We come to know this to be the truth of God. And here's what everyone cries out. Woe is me.
Amen.
You know, I'm reminded of hearing Henry Mahan. He was talking about seeing these people at these big revival meetings, you know. And you see stadiums filled full of people. And they have the invitation. Here comes these people down to get saved. To be saved. And they're Ellen smiling and chewing gum and blowing bubbles. Isaiah saw, when he saw the Lord, what did he cry? Woe is me. For.
Yes.
Here's why. For I am undone.
Exactly.
Remember that even John on the Isle of Patmos, who had been with Christ, who according to the scripture seems to be the very one that lay up close to Christ at the supper. And even this John, whom was filled with the Spirit of God, was moved to preach in light of all kinds of trouble and threats. Here's one who has been exiled to the Isle of Patmos for his stand for the gospel of Christ. And yet when he sees the glorified Christ, what does he do? He fell down at his feet as one dead.
Amen.
Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, here's the whole... When people begin to see the truth of who God is, it sheds light on everybody. Now, it doesn't become all self-centered. It's not just, I'm undone. You begin to realize everybody else is undone too.
Yes, sir.
But you don't just say, we're undone. You see the difference? I am undone, as well as everybody else around me. There's a lot of people today, they can quote, and they've memorized the verses. They've had an experience that, well, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, we have.
Yes, sir.
But the point is, have I been brought to that place to where I see the whole of the pit? I have sinned.
Yes, sir.
And come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
But because God's glory is indeed that, His glory, we don't excuse anybody else either. We don't excuse anybody else. Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thine lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And what is he told to do? What is he going to be sent to do? Now this is contrary to the majority of opinion amongst professed Christianity.
Yes, sir.
Because in professed Christianity today, anyone that is sent to tell the gospel, to preach the gospel, anyone that's sent with a message from God, it's always, although it may have some judgment entailed, it's always ultimately making a positive message. God wants to bless you. God has great plans for your life. You know, God has great things in store for you if, you know. There's actually people that believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. They actually believe that. And if you say it's not, they look at you like you're some kind of weirdo.
Yep.
Well, look, verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Well, I just don't understand how they can't get it. Well, they can't get it because God said they can't get it.
Exactly.
And Isaiah was told to go to these people, his people,
yeah,
the Jews, and say, I'm going to tell you the truth, but you're not going to get it.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
It's a testimony, not for them, but it is a testimony against them.
Yes, sir.
But it's more than that. This is not, well, we could, if we stopped there, we might can conjecture that, well, God is simply telling Isaiah this is what will happen because of them. But look at what it says. Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed.
That's right.
The truth to these people is to their detriment.
Exactly.
Right? Now, Isaiah's not sent to them to tell them lies. It's the very truth that's going to cause this to happen to them. You go tell them. Hear, but you won't understand.
Yeah.
See indeed, but you're not going to perceive. And then it doesn't say, for the heart of this people is fat. What does it say? Make the heart of this people fat.
Yes, sir.
The truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth of God. Whatever it may be. As a matter of fact, whether it's even law or grace. Because, Jack, these people can't even understand what the law really means.
Exactly.
They don't understand what the law is actually for.
Yeah.
People like this see the law and they think the law is a way to life. They see the law and they think this do and live.
Yeah.
Right? But according to the Apostle Paul, what the law is a glorious condemnation of death. The law kills. That's what it says. The law kills. Anyone who looks at the law as a way of life has no understanding of what the law truly says. A person who sees the law, and as they read that law, they know guilt. They know shame. They feel death. They feel condemnation. They fear judgment. These people are beginning to understand what the law says. But on the other hand, you have the same people. When these people who hear about the law and they think the law is a way of life, you tell them about the gospel, and all it does is cause them ill effect.
Yeah.
I don't need Christ. I can do these commandments. Well, God knows. Here's the statement they'll make. Well, God knows my heart.
You're right.
Yeah, and some people's heart's fat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? See, that's the one thing that if a person who's been given eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive, that's one thing that makes them fear God, is God does know my heart.
Amen.
He knows that even my best deeds, my righteousnesses, are as filthy rags in His sight. He knows that I am guilty both in omission and in commission. I've done what I wasn't supposed to do, and I haven't done what I was supposed to do.
That's right.
And not only have my hands engaged in wickedness, but I think of it and ponder on it before I even do it. And David, I liked it.
Right.
I could actually enjoy it. You ever catch yourself saying something about something that's not quite square with the book of God, and you say, but I enjoyed it. Ding, 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 ding. A bell ought to go off in your head.
Yeah.
Huh? Because it's not enjoying it that makes any difference. It has nothing to do with anything.
That's it.
Scripture's clear. There is pleasure in sin. For a season. For a season. But the truth of God's deliverance from the hole of the pit is not for everyone.
That's right.
It is a message against some people. Now that was Isaiah's day. Isaiah is told, you go to this people.
Yeah.
And look. And then said I, Lord, how long?
Yeah.
God says, till I wind this thing up. Till I wipe everything out. Right? That's basically what it is. Everything's made desolate.
Yeah.
There's going to be a remnant. That's what it says in verse 13. It even gives a number. Right? A tenth. Right?
Yeah.
But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and so on and so forth. Now many people say, well, that was just God's way in that day of dealing with the Jews. But according to our Lord Jesus Christ, this continued on.
Yes, sir.
Mason, this fact of the truth of God being a testimony against some has never been just a one-time occasion.
That's right.
What that actually is saying, if you try to say that, is evidently there was one day or group or set of sins and people who were far worse than anybody else. And the truth is, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
According to our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, he spoke of this. Matthew chapter 13. And he'd given the parable of the sower. And of course, everyone here, as far as I'm I know is probably fairly familiar with that parable. The sower went forth to sow, and he sowed good seed in four different places.
Yes, sir.
Right? Now, remember, this is all good seed. A lot of times we have in our mind, well, we have those who preach the truth, and people believe it, and bow to Christ, and we have those out there preaching error, free willism, and, you know, they're lost, and they're going to hell, and blah, 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 blah. But right here is good seed being sown. It's sown in four different kinds of people, but only one of them is said to have a what? A good heart.
Exactly.
Right? As a matter of fact, this seed being sown was in the long run bad for some of these people.
Yeah.
There were some of them who received it even for a, they believed it for a while.
Yeah.
But when they were put to the test, when push comes to shove, which one do you really choose? That's what it boils down to. Which one do you really choose? They chose to go away from the Word of God because it was easier. It says when persecute, not in this passage, but one of the other ones, when persecution and affliction arise because of the Word, they're offended.
Yeah.
But here's the amazing thing. Here's Christ. He gives this parable. In verse 10 it says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And basically what we're going to read here is our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am doing this to fulfill Scripture. This is going to be to the judgment of some people.
Yes, sir.
He told them the truth, but it would be to their judgment. It was in no wise an attempt to convert them.
No, that's right.
Now, I used to be taught this years ago, and I knew I didn't know any better, which shows my own depravity because it's always been right here in this book, different than what I was told. But I believed what I was told rather than what God Almighty wrote in His book. And I heard it for years, and you'll still hear it if you listen to preachers on the radio or TV or whatever. You'll still hear it. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke in parables to bring the truth down to where men could understand it. They say that. They teach this.
I've heard it. Yes, sir.
And people just, oh, ain't God so sweet? I mean, he's just like a nice bowl of chocolate ice cream. Huh? Is that what he said? Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
Amen.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given more. Hath what? This gift from God.
Yeah.
Right? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. They have just enough knowledge to confound themselves by the truth.
Yep.
To flounder and flop when they begin to hear the truth.
Yeah.
And as Peter would say, and it's not in direct line of this, that is, it is to be a testimony against some, but this passage has just truly dawned on me in the past several months, that he said it would have been better for them not to have even known the way of truth.
Yes, sir.
And yet, what does God tell us to do? What has God told? What did He tell the disciples? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes, sir.
But there's some of them that have been better if they never heard it.
Right.
Somebody says, I don't understand that. That's because we don't understand God.
Yeah.
God's far above our who we are, how we think. We wouldn't do it that way. Somebody said, why waste the time? It's not a waste of time. Joe, you and I spoke about it. There is that passage, God shall use even the wrath of men to praise Him.
Yes, sir.
And God's judgment against sin, whether it is temporal or extends to the everlasting, whether it extends to hell and the lake of fire, is in honor of God's holiness and God's justice.
Yes.
This is not just what God had to do. This is what God wants to do. Romans 9, what if God willing to show His wrath?
Amen.
Everything God does, He wants to do.
That's right.
He's not constrained by any outside influence or circumstance or situation.
That's right.
No, it says, because it's given to you to know, but to them it's not given. And to those whom it is given, they'll have more. It'll be abundant to them. But those who don't, what they do have, those who don't have that gift, what they do have, even that will be taken away from them. Therefore, speak I to them in parables. Remember, this is not just the Jews of Isaiah's day, right? These are Jews even now, right? Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, or that is Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them.
Amen.
They heard this truth to be a testimony against them. But, he said, blessed are your eyes. Why? For they see. And that's the question. Do you see?
Yeah, that's it.
Do I really know all about this? Can I explain it to everybody? Do you see?
That's it.
You know? But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Do you hear? See, for some people, this is a blessing, right? Blessed. This is a good thing. This truth is to their glorious benefit.
Yes, sir.
But it's not just thrown out there in hopes it'll be a benefit just to whomever. It's a benefit to those God gives to know. Right?
Yes,
somebody says, that sounds like God here's kind of playing favorites. He is. He is. He's picking and choosing who He wants here.
Yes, sir.
Because the truth is, by nature, these disciples
had
no more glorious righteousness than the other folks did.
Exactly.
They understood just as little as everybody else understood.
Yeah.
So much so that even Peter, even after his conversion, and even after his being called to be an actual follower of Christ as an apostle, you know, one of the literal up-close, up-front disciples stood up against our Lord when our Lord spoke of doing what was absolutely necessary for our redemption, be it far from thee, Lord.
That's right.
Did he not?
Oh, yeah.
Be it far from thee, Lord. Our Lord had to look him in the face. I'm figuring he did. Don't say that, but I'm figuring he did that, Mason. He looked right at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan.
That's right.
For thou savorest not the things of God, but the things of men.
Yes, sir.
You're thinking of this purely from an emotional standpoint.
Yeah.
And God help us, emotions are good. They are needful. God created us with them for a purpose. But we must not let emotions rule what we think, what we believe, and how we conduct ourselves.
That's right.
We must not. Because when we do, we're going to get the raw end of the deal.
Yes, sir.
That's all there is to it. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. And let me say it again, because it's just so... How do I know I'm really one? How do I know I'm elect? Well, you're not going to see the book. That book's sealed right now. It ain't going to be opened up yet. And you're not going to be able to see your name. God's not going to give you that kind of assurance. The question is, do you see? Do you hear this? No matter how much you may realize that a part of you doesn't like it, there's a part of you that says this is the truth.
Yes.
This is who God is. This is who I am. And I have to bow to it.
Yeah.
I have to bow to it. Now, of course, hey, some folk, well, that's just, those Jews deserved it, don't you know? Huh? There are people that think that way.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, Joe and I one day went and had to buy some paint and some rollers and some brushes and some paint. Because somebody going down through Kellysville, West Virginia, writing Jews killed Jesus. Well, I'm not big on this world's trying to love everybody and all that, but listen, that didn't tell only a piece of the story.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? It should have said the Jews, the Gentiles, we all killed Jesus.
Exactly.
That's what it should have said.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of people, well, those old Jews, they deserved it. What about them Gentiles?
Yes, sir.
Joe's already quoted it. It says that the Jews and the Gentiles who hated one another.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And then Pilate and Herod, who hated one another. And Pilate and the Jews, who hated one another. And Herod and the Jews, who hated one another. And Pilate and the Gentiles, and Herod and the Gentiles, who Pilate and Herod thought themselves far better than these people under the law. Had no real association. You know, they didn't just invite them into the palace on a daily basis. You know, these common people. But what did they do? They all gathered together against Christ.
Amen.
Right? You know, it ain't just whammo Jews. Remember one thing about it, folks. Our Lord is a Jew.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I mean full-blooded Jew.
Yes, sir.
He ain't no half-breed or multi-breed. Does that offend anybody? Tough. That's what most of us are, multi-breed at best.
Yeah.
You know, we're a bunch of just, you know, we're just beasts. That's what we are. Our Lord was of the tribe of Judah. Was he not? He still is. He is now seated in a body at the right hand of God the Father, and he sits there, the Lord of glory, a Jew.
Amen.
Let us Gentiles not despise the Jews. Why? Romans 11 is quite clear on this, right?
Yes, sir.
It's quite clear. Now, I have to give this, lest we become wise in our own conceits.
Yeah.
Well, the Jews deserved it, so do we. As a matter of fact, the elect deserved this.
Yes, sir.
But God was not pleased to give us this. He's pleased to give us the opposite in free reigning grace.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, you always talk about that election. Well, but it's almost always here in the book. Almost every passage I read, I find it.
Yes, sir.
Either directly stated or indirectly stated. Now, this thing about Jews, Gentiles. And folks, you read John chapter 12, verse 39. And it's talking there of Christ, and the Jews were speaking to Christ was actually speaking to the Jews. Our Lord Jesus Christ told these Jews, or it says that therefore they could not believe.
Amen.
You see that? It doesn't just say in John 12:39, therefore they were not willing to believe. It says, therefore they could not believe. That clearly states it that it was impossible for them to believe. Right?
Yes, sir.
And then people say, well, everybody could believe if they just wanted to. That's just that's the whole point. They got no want to.
Exactly.
They can't get the want to. If they're barred from the want to, it's impossible. Right?
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, why does God have the right to bar some? Because they deserve it.
Yes, sir.
Right? This is not God, David, bringing upon men something that's not already within them by nature. By nature, we hate the truth to start with. We twist and bend the truth. We distort it to our own emotional feelings. We try to interpret the Scripture. It's what man does. Tries to interpret the Scripture to suit his own or her own sensibilities. That disturbs me. Therefore, it can't mean what it seems. You know, they never can just say, that's what it says. I mean, that shows depravity far more. It shows the depth of our depravity far more than just some immoral sin or the immoral sins we are guilty of, okay? But even at our best time, we'll take the truth of God and twist it into a lie because it just don't seem right to us. And it's easy We got to remember the whole of the pit from which you were digged. Remember, we were all the same lump, right? No elect Jew can boast against the reprobate Jew, because the elect Jew is elected by God.
Yes, sir.
Not based upon anything in him or her. But be that as it may, let's go back to Romans 11. Time's waning on. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Now, what's he talking about? When he says his people, what does he mean here? Is he talking about Gentiles? Is he talking about the elect? Or is he talking about Jews? Huh? He's talking about Jews. Okay? I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Now, the answer is a clear God forbid.
Amen.
But how do we know? What, when he says his people, what does he mean?
Yeah.
Is that just my opinion? He's talking about Jews? Or do I have his word to base that upon? For, right? For, I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew.
Amen.
Well, but Paul is using symbolical spiritual language. No, he's talking in plain, he wrote in plain Greek.
Yes, sir.
And we have it translated into plain English, and he means exactly what he says.
Yes, sir.
God ain't done with the Jews.
Exactly.
Now, it's not just God has temporarily, it's not God has temporarily set the Jews to the side, because he hadn't done that either. Okay? Now let's look. As God cast away his people, God forbid. I'm an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Watch ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Now, where were they?
Yeah. Yeah. Scattered.
Elias didn't see him, did he?
Nope.
As far as he was concerned, he was all alone, but he wasn't all alone, was he? The whole thing about this ain't about all about Elias. And it ain't all about me. And it ain't all about you. It's about us.
Yes, sir.
And it's about God. But what saith the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. Well, that's probably just a round figure. I believe it means 7,000 men.
Yep.
Now, I'm that simple-minded, David. Because if it don't be 7,000, then what does it mean?
Yeah, exactly.
3? 2 million?
Yeah.
What? Come on. Where? How do you interpret it? It means what it says. You mean 7,000 precisely? Right on the nose, I believe. Named by name.
Yes, right? Sir.
I've reserved to myself 7,000. Well, that's probably, they probably didn't quite write that. They just rounded it off when they interpreted it. It's 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Paul saying this didn't just happen then. This kind of thing still takes place today.
Yes, sir.
God is still doing it the same way today. Right?
That's right?
Even so then at this present time also, there is a what? A remnant.
Yeah.
There was a remnant in Isaiah's day, right? You go tell them. You go preach to them. They're not going to hear. They're not going to understand, but there's a tenth going to return.
Yes, sir.
And they did. But even so then at this present time, there's also a remnant. But what is that remnant? The remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is no more. And if by grace, then is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? It's a good question, right? What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest. Now look at that phrase. I checked this to try to make sure that it wasn't some, by some chance, this a false interpretation here. The election hath obtained it, and the rest are blinded. Is that what it says? Now that's true. They're blinded. But it's deeper than that. The rest were blinded. Do you see that? How? What do you mean? What's that really mean? And then we get this parenthesis here. Listen. According as it is written, look at that next phrase. God hath given them the spirit of slumber. What's that really mean? It means God hath given them the spirit of slumber.
Yes, sir.
God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. How? Unto this day. Now there's an elect. That message is going to be to their benefit, right? They're going to receive it. The elect hath obtained it. But the rest were what? Blinded. So let us remember that, and I want to show this, well, as we'll see in Scripture, this is true concerning all mankind. The Gentiles don't come in apart from election. The same God that chose certain Jews, Jack, that same God chose certain Gentiles as well.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not even going into that right now. I don't have time. Time's a fading on. But look at what it says. As it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber. And when you think about, but why doesn't that person just see? Because God Almighty has determined that they not see. Why? I mean, how is it so clear? Jesus was the Messiah. How could it be that the majority of the people that he was sent to rejected it? Right? Why? And David saith, look what it says. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow their back always. See, even David understood that, didn't he? This is not going to be for every Jew. And this is not just what kind of has to happen. It's just not the way, it's just kind of it's not just the way the dice falls.
Yeah.
It's not just what would happen by chance. This is what God Almighty purposed.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you what, if that don't humble you, you don't know what humility is. Because the fact would, this is it. The fact, it boils down to that God saves whom he pleases. And he does not consult you and I and our emotions and how we feel about the matter.
Exactly.
Right? He just does not. In the eternal counsels of God Almighty, he did not say, I'm going to do this, but I've got to consider the feelings of my people.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's what Paul goes on to say. Now look at how he ends this very chapter up. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. Now, we think of that word oft time as some kind of punishment, but this word is all his determinations.
Yeah.
How he determines things, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?
Yeah.
Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. That lets us know right now God did not look into the future and consider anything as having to do with man and his will.
Yes, sir. That's right.
God did not consult with anything or anyone other than himself.
Amen.
For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Paul don't write a whole lot of amens. You ever notice that? He didn't write a whole lot, but he puts one right there, don't he?
Yes, amen. Sir.
So be it. So be it. Now here's the thing. Yeah, I said, boy, I'm old Jews. I say then, verse 11 of chapter 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Did God do this just so they would fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. And then look at what it says, for to provoke them to jealousy. You see, God didn't save us just for the sake of saving us. He saved us as Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy.
Yes, sir.
But for what reason? Now look. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles. Look at that next phrase. And that right there will guide us into everything else. Because we must acknowledge this before you can go on with anything else.
Yeah.
How much more their what? Fullness.
Amen. That's it.
You see, God Almighty chose the Jews and created the Jews as a race.
Yes, sir.
Though they're all not the elect, the Jewish nation is God's nation.
Yes, sir.
And he has not and is not done with it yet. There will be, though right now they've fallen as a nation, right? And right now they are diminished as what? A nation.
Yeah.
Until we started to see here in the last, 75 years, that's beginning to change. But be that as it may, what does it say? How much more their fullness.
Yes, sir.
Now, is it just a matter of that something's going to happen one day? No, it's far more than that. And let me try to go through this briefly, and I'll close with this. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, this is the equivalent of verse 12. That's what he's talking about. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, right there you can see, here's a distinction. The world doesn't mean everybody without exception. Right?
That's right.
Because here's Jews who have been cast off, but then you have the world, as opposed to the Jews that are cast off, right? So right there it is. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. He's talking about what? The Jewish nation. It is a holy nation unto God. Okay? It doesn't mean they're a sinless nation. It doesn't mean they're a perfect nation. Far be from it. But they are holy. Does that know what that says?
Yes,
for if the first fruit be holy, that's the Jewish stock, God's creation. He created this race of people. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump's also holy. And the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Now see right there, God has joined us into the benefits of the Jewish race. Right? Right there he says it. And that's why he says, boast not against the branches. You see it? But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root. The root bears you.
Sir.
And the root is the Jewish stock.
That's right.
You see? Our blessing has come through Jewish stock. Our Lord, again, is a Jew himself.
Yes, sir.
Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Don't be high-minded.
Yeah.
You better fear God. You see that?
Yes, sir.
In other words, Paul is saying, don't you boast against them. I got faith. God gave it to you. Right?
Yes, sir.
God gave me faith. Well, they don't believe. That's right. And some Gentiles don't believe. Some Gentiles are reprobate as well, correct?
Yeah.
Well, because of unbelief thou were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed that he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, God is what? He's severe.
Yes, sir.
But, toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be what? Grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again.
Amen.
For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree. And to bring this down, they will be.
Yes, sir.
They will be.
Yes, sir.
And let's not forget 2 points. Remember this hole of the pit from whence we were digged? We are, as chapter 9 says, all of the same lump.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But our blessing comes through a Jewish source in all that it is. I mean, our Lord said it, and he meant it. It's not just some fancy play on words to sound deep or religious. Salvation is of the Jews.
Yes, sir.
He didn't say salvation is of a Jew.
No.
Salvation is of the Jews. The salvation we are experiencing today is the salvation God purposed for the elect Jews of today.
Yes, sir.
We've been grafted in. And notice it calls us what? A wild what? Olive tree. Huh? Not every Gentile is in a wild. He might be wild, but he's not a part of an olive tree.
Yeah.
Now, yes, we're grafted in contrary to nature. Okay? In nature, you take the natural branch, cut it off, and put it into a wild olive tree, which gives it more protection against disease and that kind of thing. But God didn't do that. He took the wild olive branch and grafted it into the natural olive tree.
Yes, sir.
But both of them were what? Olive trees.
That's right.
Both of them were olive trees. Mason doesn't say he took some other plant and grafted it into an olive tree.
Exactly.
We may be wild, and that's true, but we're a wild olive tree.
Yeah.
We're God's people.
Yes, sir.
And that's I gotta give you this. This is what people don't like. They don't mind you talking about God saving somebody.
Yeah.
God doing the work. You know what I mean? They don't mind when you talk about what God laid hold of them and he brought them around. You know what I mean? He brought them to repentance and he brought them to faith, Jack. People just eat that up. But when you say, listen, God don't do this for everybody.
That's right.
That's when men begin to turn. And you read Acts, the last chapter. The Jews came, actually Paul called for him. He was in prison. He had his own place to stay and had a guard that guarded him. But he was in prison and he called for the Jews to come. I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
So they came and talked to him. He talked to them all day long.
Yeah.
From morning until night, it says. And it said some believed. And guess what? Some didn't believe. It's the way it always is. Some believed, some didn't believe. And you know what Paul said? He said, there's a reason why you don't believe. And he quotes, guess who? Isaiah, who said you could not believe.
Exactly.
And they got mad and left.
Yes, sir.
You see, it's all right. Now, you may not know the heart of someone, but if someone rejects the truth of God, you have a right to warn them that they may be of that group that we'll never see, that we'll never hear, and we'll never understand. Right? And somebody said, hey, it may run them off. If it does, it proves the point. If that truth draws them in even closer, it proves God working grace, doesn't it? See, let us never be afraid to speak directly of the sovereign, distinguishing, free, reigning grace of God.
Amen.
That is the message that is meant to cause the dividing line.
Yes, sir.
That message makes the distinction. You look at every time people preach that truth in Scripture, it made distinction among people, didn't it? Some went one way and believed, some went the other way in unbelief. That's how you know the difference. Father, I pray that you continue to encourage us as a local assembly, continue to strengthen us and guide us and lead us into thy way. Maybe we be mindful of one another, think on one another, and to the extent possible, Lord, may we serve in love, may we serve one another, for I ask in Christ's name. Amen.